The Price is Right will go on, but after tomorrow night, it'll never be the same. After 35 years, Bob Barker takes his last bow as the regular MC, and it's hard to imagine who could possibly say, "Come on down," with as much panache, or guide a flustered contestant through the showcase showdown quite so gracefully. Ken Kersen learned a lot from Bob Barker and his show, which he describes as an extended daily lesson on behavioral finance. Well, tell us what you learned from Bob Barker and The Price is Right. Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Ken Kersen is a contributing editor for Esquire magazine. His op-ed, What I Learned from The Price is Right, appeared in the Los Angeles Times. He's here with us in Studio 3A. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So The Price is Right is an extended tutorial in economics?
Among other things, it's also, I just have to say that the main reason I wrote that piece is it's really an extended lesson in how to behave. I love Bob Barker. I just, the way he conducts himself and his refusal to give in to the sarcasm and irony that define the times are heroic to me.
Hmm. In what way? I mean, he's been on the air forever, it seems to me.
He has, and you know, I fell in love with the show as a little kid. Whenever I was sick, my mom would let us wheel in the cart into my bedroom, which was a huge treat, and I'd always time it so I could get it for The Price is Right. And you know, the guy just lived the exact life I wanted. He seemed to play games all day, have a ton of beautiful women arriving with great cars and prizes. He was beautifully dressed, and he was unfailingly courtly, and his humor was gentle. It was never at the expense of the contestants, who are often quite ridiculous and would be easy targets for jabs,
for cheap jabs. And he never goes that way, does he?
No, he doesn't.
And Barker's beauties, what will happen to them?
It's like the portrait of Dorian Gray. I think I think they'll remain beautiful. It's the we viewers who will age disgracefully.
Who will age, and whether we're in our attics or not. And getting back to the economics part, though, which is a putative reason for writing the op-ed piece as well. What did you actually learn from The Price is Right?
Well, the whole show is based on game theory, and while it's not quite obvious when you're watching, some principles of it are pretty obvious, and yet it's stunning to me how people, even fans of the show, guess. Just one simple example: that most games, there's a first mover advantage. Mm-hmm. Chess is the most obvious example, but most games, like teams in football, generally choose to receive the ball and go on offense first. Not always, depending on win conditions, but Price is Right is think of rock, paper, scissors. Whoever went second would win every single time because right. You react to what the person before you did. That's how Price is Right is, and yet people seem very excited to go first. And in every stage of the show, from the contestant's row to the spinning the wheel to the showcase showdown, it's a huge advantage to go second, but people don't see it that way. So
for those who just emerged from a cave after 35 years, let me explain that often in the initial rounds of the Price is Right, they'll bring out some, it could go anything from a blender to a Maserati, I guess, and you have to guess the price without going over, and so the first person who guesses the price of the blender at $50, the next person can either say, either one or 51, and you're in pretty good condition.
Exactly, and yet, stunningly, the second person, or the third or fourth, often says 48, or some ridiculous number that, unless you're positive,
$2 window.
Exactly,
yeah.
And that just happens time and time again for 35 years, no matter how big a fan of the show the person is. And some of it is nervousness. It's not all, you know, math and numeracy. And some of it is just the person has a really great idea about what the thing costs, and they're right enough times that it wrecks the whole theory of smart alecks like me who think they know better.
So this would go to what you describe as the irrational behavior of competitors.
That's exactly right.
Uh-huh. And this has applications elsewhere than on TV game shows?
It has applications everywhere. Every part of life can be basically explained by The Price is Right, from the willingness to humiliate oneself in any way by wearing a T-shirt that looks ridiculous to the utter joy that accompanies getting something for free.
And you put Bob Barker in the same category as a Fermat and Pascal.
You know, something that surprised me about this, I wrote this piece about the unexpected lessons I learned from the show. Something that shocked me is after this ran, first of all, a ton of other newspapers picked up. I just, you know, a friend of mine who knows I like Bob Barker just asked me to write it. I did it kind of not thinking it would resonate. Mm-hmm. A ton of newspapers have run it. And shockingly, a lot of people wrote me, I'm so glad you wrote that, I have the same feelings as you do, but there was a distinct minority opinion of, no, Bob Barker's got you fooled. He's got you buffaloed. I know this bad story. I know that bad story. And I just thought that's exactly what I'm talking about. There's no matter how nice a guy is, no matter how big a mensch, there's always somebody out there who's going to say, well, one time he didn't say hello to my friend or something.
Mm-hmm. In fact, you got to meet Bob Barker.
Yes, I did. When I covered the Super Bowl, actually, I went to the 1998 Super Bowl, the Broncos, with my best friend, who's here with me today. Mm-hmm. And Kevin and I went to Stardust to watch the Super Bowl, but the main reason I agreed to cover the story was because it would put me near enough to Los Angeles that I could go be an audience member of The Price is Right. So I got to meet Bob Barker and hang out with him for an hour, and he showed me around. And he personally wrote my name on the big yellow price tag that you mm-hmm. wear as a name tag on your lapel, and it was quite an honor.
Did you have that framed?
You know, I think I lost it, which it would be typical of me with you. Absolutely. Total disgrace.
Let's get some callers on the line to hear what they have learned from Bob Barker and The Price is Right. Our number, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And this is Cherie, is it?
That's right, Cherie.
Go ahead, calling from St. Louis.
Hi. Well, my sisters and I were huge Price is Right fans growing up, and I guess when I was about 9, my parents were accepted to be on the show, and we always took a big family trip every year, so we decided to, you know, make our trip around California so we could go out so my parents could be in the audience. And, of course, we were so excited. I'm the middle of three girls, and so we thought, well, how can we prepare our parents to, if they're, you know, if they're called up to be mm-hmm. one of the three selected, how can we prepare them? So we were eating at a diner before the show, and my oldest sister, Mindy, said, okay, well, we have to guess what we think the bill is without tip when the diner bill came. And so now every time we go out to dinner as a family, this is 20 years later, we still always bid on the meal, which is so fun, which takes us back to our days in California 20 years ago.
And
so
did your parents make it on to be contestants?
No, they didn't. They didn't. And we actually were too young to be in the audience, so we had to stay in like their little daycare area. And I can still remember every second of being in the daycare area because I kept thinking they were going to come out and say they had won a car, but no, they didn't even get on.
So there's a special kid room where the parents can park their kids while they're trying to get on the show.
Right. That's right. So that's a great, I guess that's what I learned, is just it kept a great family tradition going, and I'll miss that show.
Cherie, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Did when you got the tour, did you get to see the kids' room?
No, that's news to me. What I did get to see is all the actual sets of the games. There's some almost 30 games that are in rotation, so it mm-hmm. doesn't get boring. And each of them is shockingly small. When you see, like, the big wheel that you spin.
Sure, yeah.
I thought that thing was like Ferris wheel sized, and it's tiny. It's like a truck tire or something. Mm. It's an optical illusion on TV.
Let's see if Nate will join us. Nate is calling from St. Louis.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
Hey, when I was back in my youth, I remember watching Bob Barker and The Price is Right growing up with my grandma, who is now well into her late 80s, and he's been, you know, like an influence for my life. You know, he's charismatic, and he's always, you know, glad to meet people, which is kind of the way I am. And the one comment I have is, I hate his suits.
Why is that?
Well, he's always wearing, you know, the suit is nice, but he always has this, pretty much most of the time has this tie that just, ugh, the pink ties have to go.
Well, you're not going to have those pink ties to kick around anymore. You got to like his dentist, though.
Well, yeah. My fiance always says, why is he so tan all the time? It's like, well, he lives in Southern California. Wouldn't you be tan?
Nate, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And I know, Ken Kirsten, that you thought that Barker went a long way out of his way to look really good every day.
Yeah, actually, he is a frequent winner of, you know, gentlemen's well-dressed awards from all kinds of magazines and things. And I happen to love his suits. I think he has a classic look to him, and he doesn't go for the, you know, the sort of four-button hipster pinstripe suits. That's one of the things I like best about him, actually.
Yeah, I don't think there are any hidden pictures of him in a Nehru jacket or anything like that. Here's an email from Jim, listening to member station WKMS in Murray, Kentucky. As a senior in college, I say working at WKMS in Murray, Kentucky. As a senior in college, I appeared on The Price is Right, and Bob seemed genuinely interested in my future. Bob encouraged my journalism career, and alas, here I am. An autographed picture from Bob and my yellow name tag from the show sit on my desk. It was a great experience, and I really do feel a loss knowing I won't see him on my TV every day. And I think a lot of people will feel that way.
Yeah. Is there nothing this guy can't do? That show is everything. He encourages this fellow's journalism career. He brought that other family together. It's like Moby Dick. It's about everything.
Ken Kirsten is a contributing editor for Esquire magazine. We're talking about his op-ed, What I Learned from The Price is Right. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get, this is Anna. Anna's with us from St. Louis.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I'm a math teacher. I teach eighth grade math, and I have used The Price is Right for many years as a reward for my kids. I bring in things that middle schoolers like, snacks and things like that, and we do a little warm-up game where they have to estimate the cost of one item. And then they have to do a high-low thing. And then the big prize goes to the person who can buy a certain number of items. They have to buy at least three items, and they can't buy more than three of any one item and get as close to $10 as possible without going over.
Ah, so this is a useful exercise, you think?
Oh, the kids absolutely love it because they get prizes. This year, I found the theme song on the internet, and I put it on my laptop. So the theme song gets everybody even more excited. But it's great fun, and it teaches a lot of useful math lessons.
And I'm sure
estimation,
nobody from BMI or ASCAP is listening, so it's perfectly all right.
Oh, okay.
I wonder, Ken, could you find a useful math lesson in The Price is Right?
Tons of useful math lessons. The math teacher, who sounds like a terrific teacher, actually, points out the biggest one, which is the power of estimation, which is maybe the math skill we use most frequently and really is a skill that can be developed. And there are a lot of other lessons, mathematical lessons about it as well, and logic problems. Like they have one game where you switch the prices, and if you get all four correctly, you win all four prizes. And there's a certain number of dings if you've got two correct.
Mm-hmm.
And logically, figuring out how to go from 2 to 4 or 1 to 4 is a big it's a big logic puzzle, and when you only have 30 seconds to do it, it definitely hones your skill.
Hmm. Anna, thanks very much for the call, and good luck with your next class.
Thank you.
So long. Let's go now to this is Jay. Jay's calling us from Panama City in Florida.
Hello.
Hi, Jay. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Jim, actually, from Panama City. How you doing?
I apologize for that. Go ahead, Jim.
No problem. I just wanted to comment that back in the 80s, if you ever wanted to get anything by the United States Coast Guard, all you had to do was do it at noontime. Because back then, every station, every man at every station was eagerly watching The Price is Right, over the lunch hour.
So the Medellin cartel knew about this and would run stuff in at that time.
It was kind of funny because back in the 80s there was a lot of drug activity off the coast of New England, and we always used to laugh about it because we would shut everything down at lunchtime, and every man and woman at the station would be down with their plate of food, sitting in front of the 19-inch color TV that the government provided, eagerly watching, The Price is Right with Bob Barker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back then we made no money, so we were all drooling over the prizes you could win.
Oh, as opposed to the magnificent salaries you make today.
Oh yeah, we're just rolling in it now.
Yeah, absolutely. Ken Kirsten, I suspect that wasn't the economic lesson you hoped that people would take away from The Price is Right: opportunities for smuggling.
Well, it just shows the power of industriousness that even crooks are rational economic actors.
Jim, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So long. And let's see if we can get one last caller in. This is Kevin with us from San Francisco.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I grew up with The Price is Right and Bob Barker. I'm 43, and some of my most vivid memories from, you know, probably when I was 7 or 8, why I had 3 older sisters and my mom, they would always have Price is Right on, and then they'd flip the channel after that and go to, I don't know, Days of Our Lives or one of the soaps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all through my childhood, and then the, you know, the ribbing that I took from friends and girlfriends, ex-wife, you know, for watching it all of these years. And a big reason for it wasn't just the nostalgia, it was just very inspiring to see Bob Barker not changing, you know, or not trying to be hip, as you said, with Nehru jacket 1 year and then 4 button suits. You know, he was just always himself.
And I wonder, and let me ask Kevin and Ken, will you watch to see who takes over from Bob Barker?
I'll be interested to see, but it will be radically different. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, Ken?
You know, I will also be interested, but I hope they change it substantially in other ways too, because I'll feel a real nostalgia for Bob, and I'll miss him.
I think we'll all miss him.
And Neil, just real quickly, I want to say that my absolute favorite game through all the years was the little yodeling guy that would go up and then fall off the top of the mountain if you guessed the price with too large of a margin.
Well,
to this day, that little yodeling song still goes through my head at random times. So,
well, Kevin, we probably have a 12-step program for that. So, thanks very much for
I'll
the call.
I'll add that one to my list. Thanks very much, Neil.
Bye-bye. And Ken Kersen, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Neil.
Ken Kersen, a contributing editor for Esquire magazine. You can read his op-ed, What I Learned from the Price is Right. There's a link at npr.org/blogofthenation. Tomorrow, it's Science Friday. Iroh Flato will be here. We'll talk to you again on Monday. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Come on down. I'm Neil Conan.